me down from Colorado, where I've been spending some time with them, getting our things together. My husband is already on the field, and you're my last stopover before I return to our mission field in the West Indies. And it's a privilege to be able to be here with you and see what God is doing here in Meriden. How many young people do we have here in the place? 25, I know, young at heart. Yeah, right there. 25 and younger. Raise your hand. Woohoo, look at that, Pastor. Wow, yeah. You guys? How about 25 and older? Wow, awesome. Well, you know, we all have a story, don't we? I have a story of where my life has taken me. And your story is being painted as we speak, isn't it? You're on a journey. And whether you embrace Christ in that journey or not determines the outcome, doesn't it? Determines the outcome. As we were pastoring in Hayes, as Pastor said, we felt God calling us to the foreign mission field. And wherever you pastor, that is always your mission field. But God asked us to leave our home here in Kansas, our family. We have two children. Actually, they're adults. They're not children anymore. They have children of their own. They have a life of their own. They've never been on the mission field with us, but they did send us along with the help of this church here. And we've been in Jamaica. We landed in Jamaica about 7 years ago, and it has been a wonderful journey. And I thank you for allowing us and giving us the privilege to serve in Jamaica. This is my wonderful husband, Steve. We've been married for 36 wonderful years and been in the country of Jamaica. As you can see, Jamaica, you all know Jamaica, right? I know you're just dying of sorrow for me because that's where we've had to be for the last number of years. But most of the action, the tourist action, happens on the coastline there in Montego Bay and Ocho Rios. But we were up in the hill country, they call it, in a town called Christiana, teaching Bible college students, young people who have been called by the Lord. And Pastor, there were older people such as myself and some others who dared to embrace what God wanted to do in their lives. So it's no matter what age you are, God can call you and put you in a different direction. But you first have to listen for him, don't you? And then dare to believe that what he's telling you and the purpose and a plan that he has for your life, that it can happen. But first we have to believe in him. Amen? So that's what we've done. We've been in there teaching with students, and you can turn to the next. Oh, yeah, the beaches. Yeah, we did occasionally go down to the beach. I'd be a liar if I told you we didn't. So this is what you expect. You can go to the next picture. It's my husband having a nice, cool one in a hammock, enjoying the life. And we have two breaks in our Bible college sessions, one in the summer and then one around Christmas time. And so we take those occasions to lie out on the beach and let our mind just kind of be dormant for a little while. You can go take the next one. But these are really the people that we minister to. As God has called them, many of them from situations that you're going, and they're going to be pastors someday. But they dared to listen to God and to believe, start the belief and the faith process, because sometimes it just takes just a little bit of faith. God doesn't ask us to start out with a big, huge faith. He just asks us to believe, to start out with something very, very small. And then he takes us on a journey that we never imagined. And that's what he's done for a number of these students. You can click on to the next one. But our purpose in teaching at the Bible College is to take them from the chapel and allow God to just, you know, do his thing in their life, then put them into the classroom so that they can have a heart or a head knowledge after they've received a heart knowledge of God. And then, you know, if you stop there and you have a heart and a head, but you never do anything with it, what is your life going to amount to? Yes, you might be successful in all sorts of things, but are you really living a life for God? Are you going and believing in him? And so these are our young people that have done that. And you can go to the next one. In this particular service, we take them into church services and they preach. They get a chance to preach and to lead worship and to just generally minister to people. This particular service, one of the pastor's brother came to know the Lord. Awesome, huh? He lives in the United States. He happened to be home visiting his brother. God got him. Got his attention. And he accepted the Lord. Go ahead to the next one. How many of you have heard of Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames drama? Just a few of you. It's a presentation, a drama presentation that's done by our students and people in the church. And in 2 days, you do some rehearsing and you get to know your part in the drama. There's six scenes that are played out before the people that come. And it's all about choices. Choices that we as human beings make, and we're at the final destination of our life after we've are dead. We find out whether we're going to heaven or to hell. And it's all about the choices that we make here on this earth. And through this drama, there was 1,200 people, over 1,200 people that gave their hearts to Christ through this. And one church actually doubled in size. They had to start building. So great opportunity. Amen? Yeah, show the next one. This is kind of my favorite part. We would go and minister, our students and us would go and minister in nursing homes. How many, maybe you know some older people that have kind of crusty toenails and stuff? Not a real fun thing to think about going and bending down at somebody's feet, but you know, you kind of get to know somebody that way when you're dealing with their feet. We would go and we'd cut their toenails because sometimes they weren't able to. And then we'd have an opportunity to just talk with them, laugh with them. And then we would tell our story of who God was in our life. And we saw some older people give their hearts to the Lord. It's awesome. Go ahead to the next one. Children. Children can be a blessing, right? Y'all are blessing. I see some other ones down here. But you know, there are some kids, you know, sometimes they can be an irritation. Oh, I'm hearing some laughter, amen, or whatever going on. So maybe you can identify with me on this story. We had some students that lived, our Bible college was kind of on a semi-hill, and down below here was some children that lived there, They had no resident father. They usually just had a mom or a grandma in the house. And their house was just some cinder blocks with some tin on top and a dirt floor. That was their housing. And then they had livestock, you know, pigs and goats and chicken and whatever hanging around. But these kids were not in school. And so they had plenty of free time. And they would spend it looking in our windows at the Bible college, peering in, waving at us. Hi. That's a kind of distracting, kind of an irritant when you're trying to teach class and hold on to students' attention, you know? We've got 20-some students in the classroom, and these kids are, they're wanting attention of their own. And so we ask them, you know, not do that. And so the next week they're back, and they brought their goats with them. Special. Hauled them up the stairs, and the goats are making noise now, and then the kids are making noise. And so we're still having some problems, challenges in keeping the attention of our students. And so we talked to them. We said, hey, you know, I know you don't have nothing to do, but could you, like, you know, we'll see you afterwards, but, you know, just hold it down while we're having classes during the day. And so they smiled, and, you know, and then they were back. This time they accidentally started a fire right by the church and the college. Oops. It almost got to the church building, but the fire department came and put it out. And we're going, what are we going to do with these kids? They won't leave us alone. We started to pray about it. Guess what God said? You do something about it. So we listened to God. We believed what he was saying, and we acted. We started finding out why these children were so not having anything to do, why they weren't in school. They were born inside those shacks. They had no birth certificate. And so if you don't have a birth certificate, you can't get into school. You have to have proof of who you are. And they didn't have it. So we arranged with some of the town people, the officials, to get their birth certificate. And they didn't have enough money for everyone there wears uniforms to school. And so they didn't have the money for that. They didn't have the money for books. And so the town got together, and they supplied them with that. And then we began to just, you know, that now that they were in school, we didn't just stop there. On Fridays, we would have a gospel club. And the kids would come, and we'd just, you know, befriend them, serve them snacks. Every kid loves food. Amen to that. And then we would just share with them, help them do their homework. We started doing that more than on just a one-time basis. We started doing it through the week whenever they would need help. And so, you know, sometimes our worst irritant can be an opportunity for God to use us. Amen? What's an irritant in your life that God might be saying, this is an opportunity for me to use you? I know all of us experience that one time or another, whether we're in school, whether we're at work, maybe we got a pesky neighbor, whatever. Could that be an opportunity for us to be used by the Lord? Amen? Next one. We also went into schools. Not only did we help some kids get into school, but we would go in there. Unlike America, Jamaica had devotions every day in their school. Pretty awesome. You could hear at 8 o'clock in the morning, the kids would be singing praises to the Lord. Awesome, huh? Sometimes, though, we can just sing the words and mouth the words and listen, but we never welcome God into our lives. And when that happens, they become just words. They become just songs. And they come in one ear and out the other. Been there? I have, as a teenager. My parents took me to church every Sunday. My dad would wake me up during the service when I'd fall asleep, and I'd get the herky-jerky thing going on. Ever done that? And, of course, I don't see any parents over here, so, but I had to sit right next to mine. Give me one of those. Mm-hmm. And wake me up. But, you know, I never allowed whoever was speaking, the pastor, whoever, I didn't allow the words to touch here. Because I really knew all there was to know. And I was going to do my own little thing. Until one day, I started going in a different direction. I didn't know it at the time, but I was headed towards God instead of going a different way that would have led me into a culture that was far different than where I am now. But once you start on that journey, you'll never be sorry, as long as you never turn back and you're always pushing forward. You listen and you believe. God will take you far. Go ahead to the next one. We took our young people to Curacao. They'd never been out of Jamaica. They never thought they could. They got their passports together. We gave them a year and a half to get everything all together. And they went to Curacao. Curacao is right above South America. Another island. What can I say? We're just going island hopping all over the place. But they speak a totally different language in Curacao. And so our students had no clue what people were saying around them. And we were able to minister, I know, in another nursing home. The missionary had no clue what we did in Jamaica, but he had this opportunity. There was a three-story nursing home. And it was during Christmas time. We went in and we sang Christmas songs. They didn't know what we were saying, but they knew the tunes, right? So that just kind of transcends everything. And as we were singing, the nurse got a hold of one of us and she says, you know, I have a 100-year-old lady and I'd like for you to come and sing happy birthday to her. So we said, okay, cool. You know, we'll go up there, sing happy birthday to her. And as we did, after we were singing happy birthday to her, she asked us to come over. She said, come here. And so we went over. And she said, through interpretation, of course, I've never given my heart to Jesus. Would you pray with me? Of course, we did. Isn't that awesome? We come all the way over from Jamaica to Curacao. And we lead a young, mature lady to the Lord. And as we were doing that, another young lady of about 102 comes rolling over in her wheelchair, no exaggeration, in age. And she says, would you pray with me also? I need Jesus. We had to come just for those two individuals. Be worth it all. God never gives up on us, does he? He keeps speaking. He places things and people in our way, asking us to listen and to believe. Amen? And when we grab hold of that and we ask him, it doesn't matter which age we are, God can do awesome things in our lives. Next one. This is where we've been in Jamaica, but now we're going to, again, do some more island hopping. We haven't done enough, I guess. And this particular college only has night school. It's in Nassau, Bahamas. We all know where that is, right? Right below Florida, right above Cuba. There's about 35 islands there. And in the middle is an island called Nassau. And it takes their students, Bible college students, 11 years through night school to get their license to preach.
Oh,
11 years. That's like going to medical school or something, you know? And that's a long time, and so we would like to shorten that up to 3 years. Amen? 3, 11. Yeah, which would you choose? 3. And so they have the facilities, they have the library, they have computers, classrooms, everything. Except an administrator, my husband, and teachers, some of the Nassau people that live there, pastors that live there. They're already having teachers at night, but we'd like to turn that around into a full-time Bible college so that we can get out, get the young people out to minister for the Lord. Amen? It's kind of quiet over here. Young people, you do have a destiny and a purpose for your life. You have these wonderful people that are living their lives that you can look to and point to and seek direction for, but the future is yours. And all of us have to embrace the future that God has for us. Amen? It's just not all about them, but it's us as the more mature believers, reaching back and doing whatever it takes to help that young person reach their potential in Christ. And I see that going on here. Amen? I see that you do that. Not only doing it in your worship time, I'm sure that in your day-to-day thing, that the life that goes on here in the church, that these young people are pretty important to you, aren't they? They are the next generation of this church. What we do and what we live out in front of them is what they are going to look to and see Jesus in. What is our story going to look like? What is it going to say to them? Are we living a life that they can say, man, whenever I talk to sister so-and-so, maybe they don't say sister here, I'm sure they don't, but whenever I talk to grandma so-and-so, she's always got an encouraging thing for me. No matter what's going on in my life, she's still loving me for who I am and where I am at. Praise God for that. Amen? Because we as more mature, if we don't love them right where they're at, because they're just starting out, they're just trying to grab a hold of what God has for them and to see how it works in their life. But we have to embrace them and to do whatever it takes for them to grab a hold of God and encourage them in that. And that's my passion. That's my heart. My husband's and my heartbeat is to do that for young people. And the church in Nassau is wanting to plant churches on the islands. They've already planted one. They have 35 members, but they haven't found a pastor. They had a team that went out there, but no one was willing to stay and to pastor the church. We need whatever. We don't know what the reason is why they weren't able to stay. But would you pray for our young people that we as the more mature believers in Nassau would afford them whatever they need, whether it be finances, whether it be help, whatever it would be, that the church in Nassau would step up and be who these young, to be helping them and encouraging them and giving them what they needed to go to these islands. And so that would be an awesome prayer point if you would do that for us. The next one, please. But now I'd like to turn into God's word with me. Would you turn to Luke 5. One through 11. Now this is Peter's story. You've heard a little about mine, but I'd like to take you to the Word of God and show you what Peter's story looked like. He had four important choices to make. Two of them I've already mentioned to you: listen and believe. But he also had to act it on that belief. We can believe all day long, but unless we act and we go and do something with it, we're missing out on seeing God do so much more, not only here in Meriden, but around the U.S. and around the world. Read with me, won't you? One day is, this is chapter 5. Verse 1 through 11 in Luke. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats that belonging to Simon. Imagine that. That he would happen to find Simon Peter's boat right there. Think that was destiny? I think so. God appointment. And asked Simon to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "But Master, we've worked hard all night long and we haven't caught anything." "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. And so they signaled for their partners to come in the other boat and to help them. And they came and they filled their boats so full that they began to sink. That's every fisherman's dream, isn't it? And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet, at his knees, and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And so they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. Now, the first choice that Peter had to make in verse 3 was to listen, wasn't it? He could have, you know, let Jesus speak in his boat, and he could have just, you know, let things go in one ear and out the other. But no, he chose to listen to what God was saying to his heart. He got into the boat, and he pushed out and let Jesus speak, and he listened. And then you'll see in verse 4, he said, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Well, he had already been out all night fishing. He knew there weren't no fish in the lake, right? How many fishermen you been there, done that? Yeah, I have. Last two times I've been out fishing, nothing to catch. But something about Jesus was different. He chose to listen, and then he chose to believe what Jesus was asking him to do, to put down the nets again. Even though in the past night he had caught nothing and he was tired, ready to give up, but Jesus says, put your net down again. And he chose to believe and he acted. And in verse 6, it says that when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the two boats started sinking. I tell you, I would have loved to have been that fisherman pulling in the nets, right? And to see the look on those men's faces, because they chose to listen and to believe and to act upon that. And then Jesus said to Simon in verse 10, he said, now, well, first Peter did another thing. He did something that I imagine Peter didn't do too often. He got down on his knees before the Lord and he said, I am a sinful man. That's a humbling thing, especially for someone that's a proud fisherman. But if we will humble ourselves before the Lord and to ask him for help, we can rise in the assurance that he is with us. And he told Simon to have no fear. No fear. To step out and believe, to leave everything that he ever knew or was comfortable with, and to leave and to do what Jesus was asking him to do. Incredible journey that he went on later to have. Amen? It was awesome because he chose to listen, believe, act, and go. But what is our story going to look like? You knew I was coming to that, didn't you? What is our story going to look like? Are we listening to the Lord? This church is an awesome church, so I know that you must be listening. But there are others that need to be here. Wherever God has placed you, whether in school, in your neighborhood, maybe perhaps you're a person that doesn't get out too much anymore. My mother-in-law and father-in-law are such persons. They're not able to get out much anymore. My father-in-law is kind of gradually going downhill, so my mom-in-law needs to take care of him so they don't get out a whole lot. And we're at home telling them what an awesome, you know, things that God was doing in our ministry. And, they're going, well, you know, how can God use us? And, you know, I'd love to have some stories like that and love to do this or that. But, you know, sometimes God, wherever he has us, he has a purpose and a plan. If we can't get out of the house, I told her that, you know, God's going to use you right where you are. Because their home was full of love and full of peace. And people are drawn to that. Right? People are drawn to love and to peace. Unconditional love, that is. The love that no matter what's going on in that person's life, that you're just going to love on them anyway. Yeah, they're going to have to suffer their consequences because they're choosing, making some bad choices, but we're going to love on them anyway and wait for the opportunity to be a mouthpiece for God. And that's exactly what my mother-in-law did. She is a grandma. How many grandmas we have in the house? Woohoo! You know what I'm talking about. We love our grandkids. And we love them no matter what. And that's what she did to two of our relatives. One was had been out of prison for a little while and wasn't able to get jobs. You know, the whole scenario of having to really pay for your consequences of what you did earlier in your life. And another one was having problems with her physical body. And they come over and they give the sad story and, you know, and they just find love and acceptance and in grandma's house. Wasn't too long after that, a couple years, they are now in a church, loving the Lord, enjoying serving the Lord. Amen? And sometimes that's just what it takes, loving people where they're at and letting God use us to be that instrument to change things around. But if our life is kind of all muddled up and we've never really struck out with faith and believing God to use us, then what does that say for someone else? Our life has to be clear and red hot for Christ. And when we're not that way, we paint a different picture, don't we? I was watching live CNN this morning at breakfast at the hotel. People sitting there watching of a pastor that had fallen. And I was just going, oh, Lord. You know, some people weren't even paying attention to the television, but there were some people that were, I mean, the people in the congregation were crying, you know, because their people, somebody that they looked up to was what had fallen. But you know, it's just not about pastors. It's about each one of us. We are someone's point person that they look to see who Jesus is. And if they can't see it in our life, if they say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church every Sunday. But what's your life saying? What is your life saying? Is he real in your life? Because if we don't make him real in our lives, he will be dead to this world. If he's not alive and growing and active in our life, we will not have a story, a fresh story. You know, you can have a story, well, you know, when I was, you know, back early in my years, I had an experience with God and it was awesome and But we can allow God to grow cold in our lives and not stir the pot of what God wants to do in our lives. God, what do you got for me today? Go out, listen to Pastor. I know that he and his wife, Debbie, I know what their life looks like. But what, you are God's instruments in this community. They're looking at us and they're saying, who is Jesus? They don't have to say it with words. But their life is screaming, screaming for help. Maybe it's a person that is being bullied in school. And we're standing by. Been there, done that. We're standing by and allowing it to happen. And then what does that person do sometimes? They act out. They commit suicide. They go shoot them up at school or whatever. Or a disgruntled person at work goes crazy. What opportunity is the Lord giving you to speak into someone's life? No, you don't know. I mean, if you want to memorize the ABC plan of salvation, that's good. That's good. But more importantly, what is your life saying to them? And when you open your mouth, are you testifying to the goodness of the Lord, like we've done here this morning? Or are you painting a different picture of your story? Amen. Would you stand with me? After the disciples had spent some time with Jesus, there was a grouping of people that followed Jesus. He sent out the disciples, and then he said this. He said in Luke 10:2, he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." At that point, 72 other people were sent out with the full power of God with them. And amazing things happened. That was their story. What's your story? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word and how it has become alive and active in our lives. Lord, if there are some that are still at that stage, they've been hearing you from other people, they've heard what you've said in the word, but they haven't yet believed, I pray today in the name of Jesus that this would be the day that they would hear you calling them and they would say yes to you. Yes, Lord. Have your way and your will in my life. But for those that we do believe and we have gone through this life and maybe we have become cold and we don't know what our voice looks like for Christ anymore, I pray, Lord God, that you would just help us. Work in us afresh and anew. Be our strength. Be our hope. Be our light, Lord. Do an awesome work in us, Lord. Stir up the fire, the embers that are in our heart, Lord God, and stir it up so that we could be a flame burning brightly for you here in Meriden and wherever you have placed us, Lord. God, we pray for those that are in our pathway, Lord, whether it be in our neighborhoods, our schools, our work, Lord, wherever you cause us to travel. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to listen to your Holy Spirit and that we would see with your eyes those that are hurting, those that have needs in their life, empty places, regrets. Lord, that you would help us to see those, Lord. Give us the words and the opportunities. I know those are many, Lord. Help us to see them when you are at work in others. So I thank you, Father. I thank you for what you're going to do. I just take a few moments, and if with the heads remain bowed, I'd like to ask today if there would be those that you've listened, but you've never accepted Christ into your life. This is, again, an opportunity for you to say yes to God. Is there one in the house today? You raise your hand. Is there one in the house today that would say, "Lord, I hear you. calling me? Or maybe perhaps there's those that you are on a journey with Christ, but you know he wants you to do more. If you're feeling like that, you want God to work more actively in your life, and you want to see those opportunities that he's given you, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So Lord, I pray, I thank you, God, what you're doing in our hearts and lives, and how that at every corner that we turn, Lord, you are there. You are a faithful God. And there is not a time that you are not there looking for an opportunity to work in our lives and those around us. So Father, I ask that you would just cause us as the people of God to burn brightly for you. God, that we would open up our mouth when you encourage us to open up our mouth, that we would no longer be silent, but that we would speak your word with boldness, because you have done something in our lives. You have given us something to sing about. You have given us something to say, Lord. Encourage us, Father. You have been. But help us to grab on to you and to believe you, and then to act and to go and do what you've called us to do. Amen. Amen.